Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
Welcome to the Dirt Life Show. I'm your host, Bella Burchard. This is my co-host, George Hamill.
Hi, guys.
And we are filming episode 7 of Bella's Corner.
Dude, so 7 is the magic number. I don't know if you remember when I told you. No, it is.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. So in podcast world, they say if you can meet 7 episodes, then you're dialed. But then it gets way easier from here. Do you feel like it is?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how this episode goes, but I'm pretty hyped. I can't believe we've gotten to 7. Like, that's crazy.
It hasn't even felt like seven,
but...
Well, how much work do you think it's been to get to 7? Do you think it's been easier or has it been a learning curve?
It's been a learning curve, that's for sure.
Dude, you've been doing good. What's up, Jeff? How are you? All right, let's go through the motions, girl.
So, first I want to thank all of our sponsors who get us here. I'd like to thank Motul, Evolution Power Sports for everything, and Maxxis Tires. And
did you see my shirt?
He's repping.
And all the guys over at KMC Wheels, like you said, Maxxis, the Root being such a great sponsor. The guys over at Shock Therapy, actually, they have a new project that they're doing. It's called Upfit UTV. So go check it out, Upfit UTV on Instagram. They do some really cool stuff so you can get your own side-by-side that's built like a race car. Thank you to the guys over at JL Audio and Zolinger Racing Products, and all of you for watching. We appreciate it because you guys are our lifeblood, so thank you very much for watching.
Yeah, I'm super excited to dive into
it. Hi, Jess.
Oh, hi, Mom. We have some pretty cool people coming on tonight. I want to start off with his intro because he just did something super cool. So, first up is Corbin Leverton.
Let's introduce everybody and then we'll do the intros when they come on.
Okay. Yeah. So we got Corbin Leverton coming on, Brooke Jensen, Brock Dickerson, and Kaden McCaffrey.
Oh, all very, very good. Yes.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting because I wanted to catch up with a few of them actually. And I love Brooke, first of all. Brock, I haven't talked to in a while, but like the last time I actually was on track with him,
okay.
He was just a little guy.
Yeah.
Just a super little guy.
And has he been on the show?
I don't think he has, actually.
Okay.
So, good job bringing him on the show for the first time.
Sick.
And then Corbin's got some really cool stuff happening. And obviously, you know, Kaden and Haley have been doing fantastic in their races.
So. Yes, and we had Haley on not too long ago. So, all right. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Corbin Leverton is from Nuevo, California. Who just recently joined the Red Bull Motorsports family and took the win at this year's Red Bull Scramble. So, it's a big deal.
Yeah, joining the...
One of the top dogs.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, he...
It takes a lot.
Well earned it. I'm super happy for him.
There he is. What's up, Corbin?
What's happening, guys? I think I'm on.
You're on. I expected to see you at the house, but I forgot. You just moved into your new house, so.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, how's the new house coming, dude? You've been making some super big gains in life, right?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, anyone that owns a house, especially renovated a house, knows it's a lot of work. A lot of money last time, but a lot of fun. It's cool. It's rewarding now. It's looking pretty good now, so it's fun.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, should we get into it?
Do it.
You can get into it. I'm going to ask questions about his house, though.
No, it's pretty cool, honestly.
So
I didn't know I was doing the cribs, but I mean, I could give you guys the full cribs walk around.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. You know what we should do? Because Dirt Life wants to, like, get more into that, like checking out off-road cribs. We should maybe go over there and say hi to him and show him.
Oh, we definitely should. I'm down.
Well, yeah, but honestly, man, say that again, Corbin.
You're welcome anytime.
Dude, it's pretty cool to see, though. Like, every time I think about this, we always talk about off-road. We always talk about progressing and racing. But progressing in life is just as important. Like, the amount of accomplishment that he probably feels, you know, making the next step in life has got to be great.
For sure. Yeah.
No, not
in a bad way, but there's for sure more to life than racing. You know what I mean? Especially growing up for me, like, as a kid racing my whole life. I mean, like, I was homeschooled to race and stuff, and like I had no life other than racing. You know, I have friends and do things, but like my life was racing. And as I get older and, you know, gotten married and had a house and stuff like that, definitely realized there is more to life, but it doesn't take away any from your passion of racing at all by any means, you know. So
yeah,
it's cool. It's fun. Growing up's fun. Don't kids, don't let the adults scare you away too much.
Plus, racing, taught him how to turn wrenches, and I guarantee you with a new house, he's turning a bunch of different wrenches.
Oh, yeah. Consider him a construction man, too.
Dude, yeah. Yeah.
The toolbox. They were tearing down walls and stuff.
Oh, big construction yeah. guy.
You can kind of see it right there in the corner. We had a wall right there that we missed. But, yeah, no, seriously. Huge construction guy lately.
Yep. I get it. Speaking of accomplishments, you just won the Red Bull Scramble this last month, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
So give us a quick race recap on how that went. If it was a smooth race, if there was a little complications, give us a little rundown.
Yeah. No, it was fun. That's always like one of my favorite races to get to do. I grew up going to the dunes, so it's fun, kind of feel right at home. Yeah, it was good. It was cool, especially after winning it last year too, to kind of back that up. You know, obviously signing with Red Bull and stuff like that, kind of a little bit of added pressure there to do well. But so that was cool. And then, yeah, no, honestly, I thought I was getting my butt kicked for sure. Chase Carr actually just totally smoked me in the race. Just had nothing for him. Went back to the trailer. I'm like, what the heck? Like, maybe it's time to retire. I don't know. But I was able to pull it together, and we actually had a super good battle. It was a lot of fun. The most fun I've had racing in a while, actually. Kind of battled down to the end, and luckily I was off. Not so for Chase, I guess, but it's all right. He'll have his day, I know. Yeah. Shout out to his young kid, and he's killed. So.
Yeah. Like, whenever you think of those battles, dude, like, I can remember so many races that, like, well, okay, I'll put it this way. I've forgotten so many races that I won, usually on dirt bikes, but there's some that I got second or third that I will never forget because it's just those battles, right? And, like, this one, you came out on top, but I guarantee it's a memorable one for Chase, and both of you guys are going to remember it for a long time because it was so heated.
For sure. For sure, and you're totally right, dude. I mean, yeah, any of us racing are super competitive, and we hate to lose, myself more than anyone I know. But, yeah, no, even to that, I had a really good battle with Hunter Miller actually, out in New Jersey last year. That's, like, probably second to this one with Chase and Glamis as far as, like, what I can remember recently in the last couple of years as far as just a good battle. And I got second. He beat me, but still, like, you know, come off the track and we both had destroyed each other's cars, you know, bashing each other all the way to the finish, and still we're stoked. You know, obviously Hunter was probably a little bit more stoked than me, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's why we race, right? So I love doing that. I love banging doors and stuff like that. So yeah, it's cool. That's why the Scramble Series is so much fun to me.
Yeah, it is, because it's all battles. Well, I say hi to the Tire Balls guys and to the Trophy Bro too. What's up, guys? Those battles though, like, do you take anything away and you're like, all right, that was one of the best battles I've had, but I could have done this, this, and this way better. And just, like, I don't know, just to increase your speed, right? Or your next race.
Sure. Yeah. No, you win or lose the battle. And I feel like, you know, in the time, you know, your adrenaline's pumping and stuff like that. So you're not really thinking about that stuff. But for me, I always, like, analyze myself and in kind of my performance after a race. And I feel like there's more to gain in that, you know, in your head after. Because you can kind of look back and be like, whoa, okay, like, that's, this guy got me in this line, like, I should have known this, or I should have seen this, or, like, okay, I got him here, like, this is where I know, and it helps for sure. Even one thing I try to pay attention to a lot is a lot of those guys have been racing each other for years, you know what I mean? So you start to learn the guy you're racing with, and that's really cool. And that was something that I really enjoyed with Chase, is I haven't really got to battle Chase personally. Like, I battled with Hunter a bit, kind of back in the works days, X-Flex stuff, so I kind of knew what I was in for. And it was fun battling with kind of someone new for me. We'd never really gone at it like that. So you learn, and I can't lie, like, I learned from the kid. I mean, even just like I said, I got my butt kicked in that heat race. And you know what? I kind of went back, analyzed some of the lines that he was getting me on, and kind of picked the ones that he was faster, started using those, knew the ones that I was faster, used those too, and it's fun. Yeah. I love that side. I love the mental side of racing. I think it people take it for granted, you know, the mental side of it. And at the end of the day, hey man, like, all of us that are in cars, like, we have good cars, you know, we all know how to drive them. Obviously, I think it comes down to who wants to win the most, or just straight up who doesn't want to win the most. And I feel like that's usually how I look at it. I really just don't like getting beat, you know. So
I feel like it's like nowadays, though, it's a little different. It's like more I don't know who makes less mistakes because it's so close, right? But I also feel like A really good point that you brought up is like sometimes it's more about the person than the car, right? Like in auto racing, all the cars are always the main thing, right? But like what you just brought up is really interesting to me too, is because like when we were racing a professional short course, like I knew what lines Dustin Nelson would take. I knew what lines Corey Weller was going to take. I knew where they would cut up, cut down. I knew to the point where they would give, because Dustin would only give like a quarter of an inch on the track. Corey would give like 3 or 4 inches on the track. And you get like to a point where you know your competition so well that you can go and have that much better of a race. Like it gets wild when you can, like what you were talking about with Hunter and Chase.
Yeah, no, for sure. You're spot on too. I mean, like for me, I always try to like to learn from the guys around me. I honestly don't like showing up to the track and being the fastest guy in practice or in qualifying and stuff like that, because I'm not getting any faster. You know what I mean? So I like showing up and kind of learning from who's there. Even if you are faster, there's always something you can learn from someone else, even if they were slower. You know what I mean? So that's something I really like to analyze, and I'm an overthinker with it, but it's just how I, but yeah, I mean, even to the point of, you know, like we were in different, you know, car brands, manufacturers, you know, so different cars, even if you're in the same exact model car, like people, cars work differently. They're set up differently. And I even try to learn from that, you know what I mean? In the race too, as far as just like, oh yeah, I can't do this line, or they're getting a little bit better here, but I'm gonna get him here. But also for like, okay, when it gets done, man, his car worked really good right there. Can I make my car do that too? Can I get the car to set up right after? Because there really is, like you're saying, so much of racing really are. But that's where I like off-road racing, because it's a lot less than you know, asphalt stuff.
Yeah,
that's why I really like the Scramble series as well, because it's not just, you know, a wide open horsepower game and stuff like that. So I have a lot of fun doing those.
DVXN asked a question. Did you see that there?
So I did.
We should. Do you want to ask Corbin that question? Because I feel like that's a good one for Corbin.
He said, "Hey man, I have a question on how to get into riding when my parents don't have the money to support me."
Man, I mean, it's tough, because I'll be honest. Like it's if anyone's selling. You know, off-road racing or just riding in general is cheap. They're lying. Luckily for us and what we do with side-by-sides, they're pretty cost-effective. They're pretty cheap to at least get out there and have some fun. You can ride off the showroom floor. Is it the best financial investment? I don't know, but you'll have a lot of fun. I can promise you that. And even with that, man, you can literally go finance a race car. Like I said, is it the best investment? I don't know, but it's worked out pretty decent for me, and I'm thankful. And it's cool. It's so cool to me if you would look back at off racing, you know, 10 years ago, where you had to spend, you know, $10,000 to $100,000 just to start. You know what I mean? You got to go wait in line for a year to get a buggy bill or something. You can really go down to the show or finance thing, throw a few parts on it, line up at a race, and get your feet wet and feel for it. And there's a lot of sponsor help out there. There really is if you're marketing yourself right. Even if you are a beginner, they're really willing to help. And yeah, I mean, if there's a will, there's a way, right? So there's no quick answer. There's no real shortcut for it. It's kind of just make it happen.
Well, hard work is one of the main things with all that stuff. And like the way that I started was, you know, like even a little bit under what Corbin was talking about. Like I had to work my butt off, like at a job, to make extra money to buy a used side by side. And I found a used side by side and a couple guys that would help me and like some good mentors and stuff.
Sure.
And then I just raced when I could, like, and just saved up money. So the first thing is hard work. The second one is save your money. And the third thing is go out and achieve your dream.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. That's the truth. I mean, I don't know how many people really know it, but I mean, I dabbled with side-by-side racing a little bit just because I was lucky enough that my uncle was racing and grandpa kind of helped me out and stuff like that, and got to hop in a little bit. But at the point I really started to take it seriously, I was 17 working, like not being homeschooled so I could work more and finance myself a car from the dealership that I built. That's my race car. Luckily was able to do well and get help from manufacturers kind of relatively quickly. I would say I was lucky and blessed to do that, and not everybody can expect that, I guess, but yeah, I don't come from much money. I'm not poor and homeless or anything, but yeah, if there's a will, there's a way, right? So that's kind of how I look.
Sure. That kind of dives into my next question. we've got all those life checks where it's like, okay, I'm getting older. I got to figure out, you know, how racing pans out for me. But what point in your career did you have that reality check and chose to like really buckle down and take it serious? Because I know I've had some and I'm sure George has had some, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah. I mean, I'll clarify right off the bat. Racing cars for a living is probably not the right career choice, I will say. But if you're like me and you just really don't feel like you have an option, that's what you're doing. It is possible. And for me, like my path, really, I guess, man, when I was right around graduating time, 17, 18, I actually was a fire explorer. I actually finished EMT school, was about time to, you know, go to paramedic school and fire academy and all that stuff. That was my plan since I was like 15. I'd planned to be a firefighter. And right around that time is when I started really, the racing kind of really started picking up. I started getting sponsors, started to actually get to the point where I'm like, okay, like I'm making a little bit of money doing this. Right. And yeah, it was so much. I was racing so much and stuff like that I'm like, hey, like I have this opportunity right now. It may or may not last, and I probably will never get it again. And to be frank, I can go back and try to be a firefighter kind of whenever, you know what I mean? So yeah, I chose to literally just hit it full force, be at everything, do everything that sponsors ask, race.
I think it's super quick.
That's just how it is, you know, and I've been around racing kind of growing up and stuff like that, and I understand it. But yeah, that was kind of my moment in my career, at least. Everybody has their others. Some don't have them until they're, you know, we're racing cars, you know what I mean? You can start racing when you're 40, or you can start racing when you're 10 if you have parents that are willing to help you do it, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was my deal. Kind of when it was time to, like, grow up and, you know, pick a career and stuff like that, I'm like, well, I'm going to race for a little bit, at least. So, and here I am. So it's worked out. And yeah, I can't imagine my life any other way. So.
No, yeah, it worked out for sure.
Is that fire still lit inside you? Because it seems like it's even growing.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'll be honest with you. There is plenty of times for probably anyone that races at whatever level that you're like, yeah, forget this, pretty much. There's definitely times that, yeah, you love it, it's all good, and then you hate it, and why do I do this type thing? That's just straight up. That's in my head, at least. So if no one else is willing to say it, I will. But overall, those negative thoughts don't really last very long when it comes to racing. Anyone that's around racing knows it's a bit of an addiction, as cliche as it sounds. It really is, and for me, it's kind of just always been like, I don't know. It's just what I do. I feel like I'm not going to say I was born and put on this earth to do that, but man, that's what, like, I have a drive to do. So why not do that? And yeah, I've had my ups and downs in my career. And I would say right now I'm probably having more fun, more have more drive to succeed, do new things and just straight up win races more than ever, actually. So it's cool. I'm in a good headspace right now. I like it.
Yeah.
Life's good. We'll see what happens from here, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really happy for you. That's super cool.
What was not up and down. Just like with anything, in any other path you choose, in anything you're doing. It's a life if you don't have the down struggles. So take that for what it is, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. That's really cool.
Yeah, no. Do you have any more questions?
I do have one last question that I've been dying to ask forever.
I'm scared.
When is the Leverton boys pit bike race gonna come back?
Bad connection, sorry guys. You're probably the thousandth person to ask me that question, Bella, since
2000
the date.
I feel like that's a good
that's
year.
All anyone ever asked me about. I'm pretty sure that's like what will be on mine and Lincoln, my brother's gravestones or something, because that's just what I'm known for now. I don't know. For one, there's a house built on that lot now, so we're gonna have to have a different venue. For two, that was pretty rowdy. I don't know if we can keep a role like that again, but you never know. Me and Lincoln have talked about that. There may be like we'll do a 5-year or 10-year reunion or something.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, I'm just like, it got so rowdy, dude. It was cowboy style. Dude, you should just wait till 2069. Yeah. Just, like, postpone it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, you know? Like, if you were there, you know. If you weren't there, you'll just never know. And it's one of those things that, like, right, like, a story from back in the day when you're a kid, like, it just grows and builds, and it's, like, it makes it, like, in your head, it was way cooler than it even was, and it, like, grows to that point. Like, if we do it again, it's just going to lose its coolness, you know what I mean? So.
But it's like that thing, you don't want to make, dude, you should have been there.
No actual story or Instagram post or anything will ever amount to how cool it was.
Yeah.
Ever.
For real, it was pretty crazy. For those that weren't there, have no idea what we're talking about. So at my parents' property, there's a 1 acre spot. I have to shout out to Cody as well too. Yeah. Bradbury, my uncle, he lives on it too, and it was next door to him, so he hated us for it. But he can't lie, he had fun. We got a 1 acre spot of land right there. I live out in the middle of nowhere, Nueva, if anyone knows where that is. But this was in the middle of COVID, so it wasn't me. But middle of COVID, no one had nothing to do, so we threw up a pit bike race, and there was. We bought 750 wristbands, and my mom said we were absolutely nuts. No way are 750 people coming in there, whether they show up or not. We're not letting in. By about 10 a.m., all the wristbands were gone, and we had just opened the gates, and we're just like, yeah, come in. So there was somewhere around 1,000 on a 1 acre lot. So much so that the city of Nuevo, Instagram page got shut down because all of our friends were bombarding them so much. So it was pretty cool. Thank God we didn't get shut down. The cops were so cool about it and loving it. And yeah, it was a good time. It was one of those things that I don't know if it can ever be recreated and be as fun. It was
thank you for the Leverton and Bradbury family for putting Nuevo on the map.
Yeah. No one knew about Nuevo until that event.
I'm from my city, you guys, so
you're just a staple. Corbin for mayor.
Yeah. What's like the Young Jeezy song? Like I put on. Like that's what I'm trying to do.
Yes. All right. I think we gotta talk to Caden,
don't we? Yeah, we
all
got right. Caden on.
Peace,
yeah.
Dude.
Thank you. All right, so
guys.
Good to
talk
to you guys.
That's so funny, huh?
I was dying to ask that question.
Could you imagine though? Like having all those people show up and you're just like, what do we do now?
I know, like, it was crazy. Cow.
All right, here's your intro.
Hi, Caden.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
That's good. So, Caden McCaffrey is 22 years old from Las Vegas, California. He made his debut
Las
last
Vegas,
year.
Nevada.
Las Vegas, Nevada. I knew that, you guys. I'm homeschooled, sorry. Made his debut last year, becoming a part of the Polaris Factory Racing team, and continues to shine in the racing world. He recently won this last month's San Felipe 250.
Dude, on it at San Felipe, kid. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it turned out good.
Yeah. But I first want to run down of the race real quick just to see if everything went smooth and stuff. Give us a whole race recap.
A whole race recap? Well, it was 284 miles, so a lot went on. But honestly, it was actually a pretty slow day. It felt like that's kind of what happens when you win. Not a lot happens when things are happening normally in a race car. It's bad news. So honestly pretty bored all day, and then got down to the finish the last 30 miles or so, and figured that if we were going to try to win, we better start now. And kind of started going, picking up the pace a little bit, and got to the finish line, and I guess we won.
Yeah,
it's a pretty eventful race. And then you had Haley in the car with you too, right?
Yeah, she's been riding with me off and on for as long as I've been racing, pretty much. If it's got two seats, she's my first pick.
Heck yeah. Did she do a good job? Because, like, dude, it's hard to ride at San Felipe because you're hitting so many freaking bumps.
Yeah, I take care of myself pretty well, but if anything goes awry, she can clean it up pretty fast. She's super lightweight. That's the biggest advantage. But yeah, she's a smart girl and is good to have next to me.
Yeah, for sure. Benefits you in every way.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah. She's good at her job. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
she is.
Just also like a different kind of mind. All of us off road racing men think one way, and you get her, and sometimes she has different takes on things. So that's
actually,
good to have.
That's
sure.
a pretty good thing to like understand. I didn't even think about that till right now. Like you probably think completely different than your brother, Bella.
Oh,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Whether
men and women have different mindsets, but
something like, I forgot what it was. I think it was like when Danica Patrick was racing or something, but somebody said like that girls have a quicker reaction time than boys do.
I don't know if I'd give her the steering wheel yet, but we can try.
Well, I'm just saying, like, quick reaction time, though, when you're navigating and you're seeing all that stuff, I feel like that's a huge deal.
Haley and Bella actually raced quite a bit, so Bella knows how quick Haley's reactions are.
Yeah, I do.
Like, battled against each other?
Yes, we did.
Really?
We raced together for a full, like, season and a half, probably.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
That's cool.
She was probably the most fun competition that I've ever had, for sure.
Like clean racer, you mean?
Clean racing. I learned from her. Like, it was pretty cool. And she always had GoPro footage. Always.
she
caught
had the receipts.
Me running into a fence. She caught me
no
blasting
way.
Out her GoPro. She caught me.
Dude, Haley could freaking sabotage you so
long. Yeah. Didn't she break your wrist in Idaho?
Yeah.
Was that you? Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
Dude, anyway, that's enough about her.
Yeah, let's talk about Caden.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about Caden.
Haley, post some of those pictures and videos.
So now that you're a part of the Factory Polaris team, has that given you a different outlook or better understanding of how a team or manufacturer operates?
Good question.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, normally when you race off-road, you're kind of racing for your name or your family's name. You know, that's like the biggest thing, right? It's Bella or it's Caden. And with this, it's kind of like it's Polaris, you know, and it's way bigger than me. And my name's on the car, but that's a really small part of it. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are behind all the brands that are on our car. I don't even know how many employees Polaris has, but all those people are looking at me and the team to, you know, put their work into the public's eye. And I feel like we've done that pretty well, and we're going to continue to try to do that even better.
Yeah.
Does that give you more pressure or no? Or do you handle it pretty good?
You know, I sometimes people like would ask, do you need to get nervous before the race or do you get a lot of pressure? And I don't really ever feel that. I think that's bad to think about. I mean, if you got something to be nervous about, then you probably shouldn't be racing. So, I mean, I never got that nervous or felt much pressure, and that probably doesn't do good for most people. So I figured, you know, maybe in the beginning of my racing career when I thought, oh, am I going to be the guy that's, you know, has a lot of pressure and is really nervous, or am I not? And I just chose not to be, and figured there was never a reason to get nervous, and you can leave the nerves until, you know, something bigger happens or something later in the race. But as far as before the race, I don't feel that too much. But yeah, it's definitely cool to be racing for you know, something bigger than myself.
Yeah,
that's actually a good point though, because like that's a true racer, right? You just like you leave everything behind and just focus on getting the job done.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you want to read that comment, Dishmel?
Oh, Dylan Smoke said, Caden listens to Spice Girls before the race. Known facts.
I don't know if that's a fact or not, but Dylan's actually a backup driver on the team. So, you know, maybe before the race, he's getting my iPod ready or something.
iPod?
Dude, I like that.
I don't know.
That low-key response. That's perfect.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no, that's really cool, though, especially going from more of a privateer team to kind of seeing how stuff works as like a manufacturer bigger than yourself. Yeah. That's
pretty cool. I don't want to get too far into the whole Polaris team thing because that's a whole show in itself. But like when Caden has the opportunity, and I don't know if you know this, Bella, but he hasn't actually been racing for that long. Like he's still pretty new to it, right? He's been around racing his whole life. But when you get put into a position where racing is now your job, a lot of times it changes for people. Like it takes away fun and all of these different things happen. But it doesn't seem like that's happening right now because he's got such a good attitude and a mental perspective on where he wants to go in his career. Like there's a very few people that can actually sustain that. So we should be proud of him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I guess my answer for that was like, to me, I started racing in the beginning of 2019. That like it was never really a hobby for me. Obviously, my dad has done it for a living, most of, if not almost all his life and all of my life. So, you know, most of the things that come with making racing your job were already expected on me, kind of. So to me, it was never really like a hobby. It was always like a thing that you go try to do your best at, AKA a job, but it doesn't really feel like a job. So I guess I got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, for sure. And especially coming from, you know, how you said your dad has raced his whole life too. Is that stuff that you can benefit off of, like learning from him? Do you go to him when you need like a question about it or need some advice or someone to pump you up?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about pumping me up, but maybe slowing me down. But no, normally, like in the beginning, it was always good to have somebody that like kind of knew how it worked. He kind of probably could foresee my future a little bit just with the amount of experience he had. And, you know, a lot of the times there weren't too many questions or anything. It was just kind of I was kind of like a sponge and growing up around it so much. I just learned so much about it and took it all in and was able to, when it was my turn to hold the steering wheel, I was able to do it pretty okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like most about the dynamic between Caden and his dad, well, and now the whole family, right, is like they utilize everybody for the knowledge, the learning, the infrastructure, all of that stuff. And like he said, they're sponges, right? Like they learn from each other. Sometimes they can bark at each other, but that's like normal human interaction, right? But Caden does it his own way. Like he knows what he wants and he sticks to that and he uses all the other information to benefit the way that he wants to proceed. It's really cool to see him go through all that and to grow.
Yeah, for sure. It's super cool, especially coming from the family to like being able to share that experience with someone that, you know, you just come home to or you grew up with.
It's real fun when we get in the same vehicle together and try to race together. And it worked. A lot of people would think like, oh, it's bad or we yell at each other. It's not like that at all. It's pretty calm inside of a race car. What needs to happen is we need to race each other against each other in very similar race cars. Not for bragging rights for anything. I just want to see how it goes. You know, I've never raced against them. So
I want to see how that goes too.
You should be on the same radio channel and talk crap to each other. That'd be fun.
We should use Starstream.
Yeah, to see the battle.
Do it.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're talking about the family aspect of it and all that, like you have one of the best pit crew in Amber. She supplies you guys with the most amazing snacks every time you guys
are. Yeah, absolutely. No, she's been around it for a long time. A lot of her life too. So she's been around it and she knows the deal when it comes to McCaffrey Motorsports and everything. And a lot of stuff gets handled without even you thinking about it. So it's great to have somebody like that around and you know, makes it easier on us drivers for sure.
So we all know that like your dad is usually his favorite is like a Snickers ice cream bar or something like that. What's your favorite when you're out pre-running?
Like out pre-running? Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Normally we're pre-running in Baja. So any food's good food at that point. And sometimes it's just the simplest thing like trail mix. Or whatever you can get your hands on. But after a long day pre-running, I think we just came back from San Felipe and kind of, in my opinion, San Felipe kind of has the best restaurants and most variety of food for sure through anything that we raced in Baja through. So I'll eat anything. I found a pretty good Italian spot at San Felipe, and that was pretty good to come home from a long day of pre-running and get some shrimp Alfredo. So I think I had that. You could ask Haley. I probably had it 6 or 7 days in a row. Maybe for lunch sometimes too. It was just, you know, when you find something good like that, you just keep going for it.
Dude. It's just a repeat. You never get tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry now. Thanks,
Kurt. I always heard of Uncrustables, but this booty trip Alfredo, okay.
Normally, I don't bring very many snacks with me pre-running because I just, like, I'm trying to, like, get to dinner as fast as possible. So I don't have a lot of trail snacks on the road.
Yeah, I gotta hop on this shrimp Alfredo
stuff right
here.
It's definitely good ice racing in Baja. Sorry.
You're good. I know. Baja's a whole experience in itself. I haven't got to experience that yet, but from seeing all your guys' posts and everything, it looks like a crazy.
You have your passport?
Crazy rundown. Yes, I do.
Maybe you should go down with Starstream and hang out, and then you can feel the vibe.
Take me. I'm down.
What else we got?
We got a couple more. Sometimes you can lose motivation, even with the sport that we love most. What do you do to regain your strength after a race and go the way you planned?
I just tell myself I don't have a choice. I'm either gonna like it or I'm gonna like it. So you know, sometimes you know things get you down, but I don't think about the past too much. I really don't think about the future too much. I kind of just try to stay in the present. And, you know, what's going on today is what I have to deal with, and good or bad, I mean, you end up getting through it. And, you know, the highs are high. You know, I just came one San Felipe, and then Monday it's like, oh, whatever. And I'm accustomed to that, which is so good racing short course and stuff, was you race so much that, you know, you'd win and or you lose and you have another chance to go do that in a couple weeks. But with desert, you know, last year we raced 4 races and it was like, oh, you know, you race once every 3 months. And if you had a bad result, which I had quite a bit of last year, unfortunately, there was, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of time to get down on yourself, but looking back on it, I never thought I really did. You know, it was always like, oh, how do we get better? Or how do I improve myself or the team? And, ended up winning the 1,000 last year at the end of the year. So that kind of saved the year for me. And then rebounding this year at San Felipe. But, you know, at the finish line of the 1,000, I was thinking about hammers. And at the finish line of San Felipe, I was thinking about the Baja 500. So ever since we've gotten home, put the trophy in the trophy case and started trying to figure out how we can win the Baja 500, which is definitely not going to be easy.
Yeah, exactly. You know what they say, though, too? I think you've heard me say this before, Bella, is like one of the best traits about a racer is they have a short memory span.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you remember the mistake you made in the last corner, you're already losing. Like,
yeah.
You just got to move forward, and that's what Caden's talking about.
Yeah.
You definitely never get too high or too low. I just, like, you know, even if you hit a rock, get a flat, just whatever, change it, forget about it. You can't fix it, so just keep going. That applies to life, too.
For sure.
Like, well, and he's thinking about going and getting shrimp Alfredo after.
Exactly. I would be too.
You better get to the finish line fast because they're running out of shrimp.
That's a great perspective, though, especially hearing it from you because, you know, we all have to deal with some gnarly luck. We can be the most amazing drivers, but it's sometimes the car is really what we're relying on. And
well, kind of like Caden just hit on it, too. It's like, that's the way you should deal with life.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I think racing teaches us a lot of that too. Like, not a lot of kids get the chance to figure that out because they don't do as of a demanding sport or something like that. So,
100%. Yeah, you could go work for whatever a year, 6 months, 8 months, building the coolest race car ever, and you go to your race and you make it 2 miles.
Right.
And if you get upset about it and just, you know, get rid of the race car, you're never going to succeed. So it's definitely a big part of the sport.
Yeah, and you can't dwell on the past. You can only fix your mistakes and move on.
Have you had some where you were just like so down in the dumps?
No, I honestly, you know, the bad, like, I've been pretty fortunate in my life to where, like, the good results have probably always outweighed the bad results. And whenever there's been times that the bad results normally came from me doing something stupid. Honestly, so like, honestly, it was an easy fix. Just don't do that. I've had, you know, pretty good teams and like racing my RS1. I was always prepping the thing myself and had good luck. So honestly, never really had much of a, you know, a run of bad results due to things that you couldn't easily fix. Most of my stuff was just learning or trying to figure out learning to not do those things. And then I'm watching other people and seeing how they do it and putting it all together to the orb of success that I'm trying to have.
Yeah. For sure. So Dude, rad taking accountability for that too.
That RS1 that you had though, that was a pretty sick like little rig.
I still got her. I actually just tore it to the frame. It's I'm guilty right now, but it's been 13 months since I tore it down to the frame, and I actually just walked in 10 minutes ago from putting all the brake lines back in it. So got her all powder coated, and I don't know what I'm gonna do with her. I gotta figure out if she wants to go out the door. It's kind of my first race car, and had a lot of success, and kind of built me into what I am today, and gave me a lot of opportunities. So it'd be hard to sell her. I
was
don't know
say,
how many.
Make that the MVP, the most valuable Polaris, and just bring her out whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to sell it and you know, figure out what's next. But I also know how many good moments and opportunities and joys in my life came from that car, and times that it was 3 a.m. in the shop, you know, the night before leaving for the race and the car wasn't running, and how, you know, running for the championship or whatever, and how freaked out I was. And at all that time, I was either still in high school or had a full-time job. So mixing all those things together was definitely a point in my life that like taught me a lot of not time management, because I've never been good at that. But, like, trying to figure out how to like squeeze 100 things into a box that can only hold 10.
Right.
Yeah, those learning moments. So that's why that car is so special.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got to come back out of retirement. It's been. I raced that Red Bull Scramble with Corbin. That was actually the first time we ever raced each other, I think. I was always in a different class, but last year I got my butt whooped because I have. I will say it's because I had less power. I had no power, but also Corbin's a great driver. That is a part of it. But it hasn't raced since May last year at that Red Bull Scramble. So got to find some fun events to come bring it out to. Some that I think it could be competitive in, and try to go for broke. I love driving that thing because it's just as fast as you want to drive it, as hard as you can go.
Dude, yeah. How rad would it be if you put like a 2.0 motor in that thing from Pro R and just gave Corbin a run for his money? Dude, that'd be so sick.
I think it'd still be tough, but you know, I actually always thought about racing that thing in a desert race, and I'm pretty sure it'd be terrible when shooting yourself in the foot, but I'm sure it makes for some good stories, you know, like a Silver State or honestly even Baja. Like, I know it's definitely not the best knife for the cutting board, but go figure it out. I'll try to figure out how to strap a spare tire.
The racing tracks guy David Clay, yeah. He races the RS1 Baja, but dude, like, it's gnarly.
Yeah,
like it's next level gnarly.
I've always wanted to build a single seat Pro R.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Does it still have a purple wrap on it?
Oh yeah, she got wrapped. So it's in the same car. So that car, I got that car in the end of the beginning of 2019. It's the same car, same frame, same trailing arms. Like, it's a lot of stuff's been the exact same through all these years. So yeah, it got wrapped at the beginning of last year, a little bit of purple, mm-hmm. and it's still got her on there. Yeah, as we talk about it, I think, you know, when I'm working on the thing, I just keep thinking about when I get to the end, I'm going to sell it. But as we keep talking about it, I think she needs to come out of retirement.
Yeah, I think you need to pull her out, at least for one last go-around.
Yeah, I agree.
One turns into two really fast and into four and six, and then you never get rid of it.
Dude, the RS1s are just so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
That was where it all started, I feel like.
For a lot of people.
Like, the real power kind of started.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, so talking about Starstream, we got some dudes still qualifying at Legacy right now.
I was watching Travis Lee. Oh, I watched his qualifying run, and he's got it. He's got it with the intercom, and I'm pretty sure it's his dad riding with him. So I was super stoked to listen to it. And
I text messaged Chris Mankin. I'm like, dude, the audio is gold. Like, we can hear him. It's so sick.
It's pretty good. And then even when they whatever radioed in their satellite communication into the chase crew, whatever, and so the chase crew was, the Mankins were in Murrieta, and they could hear him clean as day. That's so cool. We could hear it on the live stream.
It was rad to hear all that stuff. Like, it's next level because you can like experience it. Like, I was like driving over here to like going down the highway or whatever, and I was getting chills. I'm like, yes, you got it.
Just keep working on it and getting it better and better and more stuff, and then it's gonna be, it already is the future, right? We already know that, George. But as we keep going, it'll be even cooler.
I know, because everyone on the spectator side of it, like, has never really got to see, you know, our perspective or in the car or in, you know, so it's cool for all.
Do you think we're gonna be like, Bella, you could have done way better over here, and like, guys?
And be sitting on the couch with the remote control just watching my car and driving it.
They're going to hear Caden talking about the shrimp Alfredo.
If they mic up the audio to Haley and Caden, that would be so awesome.
Oh, I would love to hear that audio.
I don't know. There's not a lot of talking. And anytime it's talking, it's like normally nonsense. So it'd be interesting.
That's funny. I've always wondered how it's like for like different co-drivers and drivers, what they speak about. Because me and Dylan... like, sometimes we'll be serious and talking about really, you know, like, okay, this next year, you got to be ready for it. And then sometimes it's like, yesterday, you know, I had this good, like, chili, but it just wasn't, it didn't hit the spot.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Yeah. And everything I've driven is pretty similar to that.
Dude, well, there's some people, I don't know if it's even legal, but some people listen to music.
Yeah, some people listen to music.
Oh, yeah.
I could never. I would go crazy.
You got to try it once. I like listening to the car. Like, in the rules of off-road racing, you shouldn't be listening to music while you're racing. No. But because you're supposed to listen to the car and vibrations and everything. But yes. It is definitely like pre-running, 100%. Podcasts, all those things. So I haven't listened to music while racing very often. But when I have, it's been pretty fun.
Do you have a hype song?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Do you have a hype song, like, before the race?
No. My thoughts are enough to get me hyped up.
Yeah, dude, so I'm the same as Caden, and I was talking to Craig Scanlon about this stuff, and, like, honestly, he surprised me. His is Taylor Swift.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's pretty badass, though, because that's what gets him hyped. Like, you'll see him listening to his iPod, you're like, all right, don't bother.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's either Craig or Blake.
What's your hype song?
I don't know if I can tell you.
Yeah, dude. Is it G-Eazy or somebody?
No. Do you guys know who Queen is?
Yeah.
Queen?
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good song.
because it's got like a subtle, like, okay, you're slowly going into it, then you're pulling up to the line, okay? Then it's like right as you're about to go off, that's when it drops.
That's
probably why other people have hype songs. That's probably why people get nervous. They're trying to hype themselves up when they need to be calming themselves down.
That's probably my problem. Then I wonder why I get nervous. It's because I'm playing Queen right before I'm about to go off.
That's funny. We should do a poll on that and see, like, well, Brooklyn just joined us, but we could ask everybody, be like, dude, what's your guys' hype song before you guys get
I would love to. Or like someone's like walkout song, like for Supercross or UFC or anything like that. Like, they got hype songs, why can't the racers have any? I would want this.
You can tell so much about somebody. It's like, it would be kind of like, you know, you're sitting at the poker table and you have your poker face on. If you released like your hype song, people would know your vibe like right away.
Oh yeah, they would know what you're coming in, what your intentions are, you know.
I'd like to play some mind games with that.
Yeah,
dude, you could. You really could.
That would be so sick. All right, well, I don't have any more questions for you, but do you, George?
No, I think Caden's doing a great job. Like, all of the stuff that he's doing, you know, he's focusing on being a professional racer. He's got a, you know, career, like, doing all of this great stuff. And from the outside, it might look like it's a little easier than it is, but I know how much work he puts in. I know how much work his family puts in. I know how much work the team puts in. And to be able to see him start excelling at this in such a young stage of his life, I mean, he's got still at least 40 or 50 years of racing left.
You're only in your 20s.
So
like,
there's so much. You know what? Actually, somebody else put this. The Gypsy Tales podcast talked to Adam Cincirillo after he retired, or after he said he was going to retire from professional motocross, and said, I kind of feel like this is the beginning of your second life, right?
Yeah.
Like, for Caden, this is still the beginning of his first. I mean, he has so much room to grow. It's badass to think about how awesome it's going to be in the next 10 years.
Yeah, and even just going through the eras of each different type of racing, and, you know, you're entering into a new one right now. So I'm really super happy for you. Can't wait to see what you got in the works.
Thank you.
Wait, your mom said, what is your real hype song? You're not being honest. Oh, you got a different one? What is it? You cheesed out?
It's probably not PG, is it?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It's probably not PG.
No, yeah, no. It's definitely not. She's holding back, Jess.
Oh, dude.
All right, guys. Anyway, we'll talk about this later.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
Later, Kate. I want to know what it is. What's it going to take? Like, what kind of question do we have to ask to get it out of you? Who's next, Brock?
Brock is next.
All right, I'll add him on here real quick. Is he friends in the dirt life? I don't know.
Should be.
We'll have to. There you go. So, all right.
So, Brock Dickerson is next. He is from Brawley, California, and started his racing career in 2008. He made a mark in the Desert Worlds. And
how are we doing?
Oh, hi.
Brock's also making a mark on the screen right now with this fabulous mustache.
Oh yeah.
it took some work. Took a while.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Honestly, kind of my first time on like a podcast like this, so I really don't know what to expect.
That's super sick. We're glad you came on, and I'm excited to ask you some questions. I have the most questions for you out of everyone. All right. So
I have some fun stuff to talk about with him too, but I'm waiting to see him on the screen so I can do an Instagram story or reel with Bella's Corner and then get his mustache close up. So go ahead and ask your questions, and then I'll just focus on my Instagram
later. All right. So I did want to hop right into the truck. Tell us a little bit about your new build. What class do you run it in, and who built it?
Yeah. So we got a new Alumacraft trophy truck, and we've been working on it for probably like 3 years. But, well, started it 3 years ago and then got held up for the tranny coming from Albans out of Australia. It got stuck in the COVID lockdowns. Basically, we had to wait like a year for a transmission, which held up a bunch of stuff, and, you know, so that put it behind. But San Felipe, first race on it, 1100 horsepower, six gears, paddle shift. It's just insane. It blew me away. We only had about 100 test miles on it before San Felipe, 150, I think. So we were really still breaking it in. I was a bit, I don't want to say what's the right word for that? Just a bit upset, not disappointed or anything in the rear gear. We lost a third member, basically, 240 miles into the 250, which really sucked because I thought it was a transmission when it broke.
Right.
I just misdiagnosed it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, the truck ran great the whole time. I mean, I love it. It's fast. It's stupid fast, basically.
Yeah.
But no, we're just looking forward to
it. Got the Instagram banner.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's super cool.
It is kind of crazy to think about, though, when you put in that much work, especially with the time delays and stuff, right? Like, all of us racers understand, like, you just want to get out there and race. Like, you're so excited. Like, let's just go, go, go. And then, I don't want to say you got let down, right? But, like, you learned a lesson. You were like, okay, we put in all this effort. And then all of a sudden, like, okay, that was it. It was a little part. It was a failure. There's nothing that you could have done about it. But now you have the opportunity to go and redo it, like we were just talking with Caden. So you pretty much just put that behind you and go for the next race, or what?
That's the plan. Now that we know what broke and why it happened, we've kind of just been circling around it for the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, San Felipe. Just trying to figure out exactly what to do. So now I think we know what to fix, what we need to change, how to make it right, you know, make it fast. I mean, that was the roughest San Felipe course I've ever seen. I've raced there 4 or 5 times now, and it was just straight square edge. It was ridiculous. Or I don't want to say ridiculous. It's San Felipe. It's always going to be rough, right? But that just puts so much wear on those parts. But yeah, now we know what we need to change, how to improve it. I mean, like I said, we only had 100, and I think the exact number was like 132 test miles before San Felipe, which
that's crazy.
That's half a race, right? Like, so damn near a brand new truck still, and just went into it and we learned. So
yeah, it's pretty new for Alumacrafts too, for sure. But selecting a builder for the trophy truck is a huge commitment. What strong points did you see in Alumacrafts build that made you
want to
commit to it?
So I raced a Tisco truck in 2022. The main reason for that was because we were still waiting on the Alumacraft, whatever, how I said, held up by the transmission through COVID. I went with the Alumacraft just because I had a great relationship with them. John, well, not there anymore, but always kind of took me under his wing and helped me out a lot. Pro buggy car. I mean, damn, he brought my one car and it wasn't even a Alumacraft. So,
I mean,
that was the main reason we went with them. And they just helped us what we wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
We were just talking about it before the show, like how much people matter, right? Like once you find a person that you're like, you gel with, or whether it's a mechanic or I don't know, even your best friend. Like, it's just one of those things that you always want to keep working with them. That's super cool that you've been able to do that and stay loyal, in quotes, you know what I mean? Like, because that's hard to do, especially in racing, because people want to just move forward and they jump to the next bigger thing, but you've stayed loyal. That's rad.
Yeah, no, it's been tough. I mean, even, like, my main goal for the past 2 years is to drive for someone else. I mean, I think goal is kind of I get just a drive, but just drive for someone else, right? It costs are way down and you don't have to deal with working on your own truck. But I don't know, it's tough to say. Sorry, I'm reading the comments.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
go ahead and answer that.
I want to phrase this question a little different though. So Dangler88 asked, how's the Tisco compared to the Alumacraft? But instead of talking about the trucks, talk about how they feel when you're driving them.
For me, that's kind of hard to say between the two, because when I hear that question, I think like suspension, geometry, how it's in and out of corners, whoops, whatever. Having a motor with 200 more horsepower in this truck and a transmission with 3 more gears and paddle shifting makes it hard to compare, just in the sense that the truck itself has the drivetrain to make it faster, you know? So you can't, makes it hard to say like, oh, this thing's so much smoother, so it's so much faster, right? Because it's, put it on a highway, we did 53 testing on the highway, and it had more. And so it makes it hard to say. I like the Alumacraft, just I think it digs a little bit more, has a bit more forward bite. But I also had Disco since the 1000 of 2022. So, a kind of far off, whatever you say, basic. It's been a while since I've drove that one, so it's not an exact comparison. But both trucks have their strong points. I mean, I think the Tisco was maybe a little bit more nimble. I have them set a lot differently. The shocks on the old truck, I had them a lot stiffer. This truck was really soft for San Felipe, which I kind of wish I would have made a little bit stiffer after going through the race and hitting all those whoops. But
do you have to have a conversation with your lower back the next day and be like, man, I'm so sorry?
It's been through enough now. I mean, the 10 car is what really tore me up down there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 10 car compared to the truck. I mean, it's just smooth. You know, not.
Yeah, not comparable.
Yeah, it really isn't. But, hey, so a couple things that I wanted to bring up is, like, so I started racing side-by-sides in 2014, early 15.
Okay.
And Brock was already at the track, but he was a little kid, dude. And I don't want to be like the old guy saying this, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because every time we got on the track, he was always fast. But the best part about it was, is their family and their support mechanism was always there. Like, I love that because they were one of the first teams that showed me that off-road was such a, I don't know, a collaborative effort and everybody was willing to help.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, it was just neat to see, right?
And did he always have that mustache?
When he was 3, yeah.
Anyway, what year did you say it was, George?
It was like, you were barely getting into UTVs, like late 14, early 15.
That's what I was thinking. I was probably around 13, 14 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, and his mustache was perfect then, too.
Right.
No, that's cool, especially to start. That's like the ripe age.
Yeah, I remember I needed some sort of part, and they even went around the pits looking for the part.
That's crazy.
Dude, that's so sick. Because yeah. I was used to dirt bikes. Like, I didn't know. And right. I was like, oh, these guys are going to be dicks. Like, they're never going to, like, help me out.
Such
like,
a different world.
And, yeah, it was, like, awesome. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, the whole team, like, everybody on the team was so awesome to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I do have another question. What involvement did you have in the progress of the build? Were there things that were like, we were just talking about this, but things that were tailored to you or your driving, you know, something that you wouldn't compare to with another driver?
That's a tough question. I wouldn't say there was anything like that was specifically one-off. I mean, we did build the truck at first it was a sequential set up with a shifter. Had them switch it to paddles after not long. So they did work and shifter, all the links, all that.
Yeah,
we need to do that. But it wasn't really a special input. I mean, they kind of knew what they
were. How tall are you?
I think I'm like 5'8". I don't know. I haven't measured myself in forever.
The seat was raised 4 inches.
Yeah, Tyler just said the seat was raised 4 inches. Was that like a
ding?
Does he always mess with you?
Tyler preps the Tisco, and that truck, it had more of a seat than the Tisco. But now back to the question. Really, there's nothing special for me.
5'9" with a mustache? Hey, actually, this is a good point that I was actually bringing. Like, we were talking about seating, like, yesterday or today. But anyways, when you sit in the race car, do you sit, like, real straight up and, like, really, like, up towards, like, on the steering wheel? Or do you like to be a little bit more back and down further? Because I think there's a big difference in how you perceive the race depending on how you sit and where you're sitting in the truck.
Yes. I like sitting closer to the wheel. But I like my arms to be close to me, and I like the wheel probably only 3 inches. I have enough room for my hands if I need to, like, go over the wheel, you know. I like being on the wheel, kind of. Especially the truck, you have to try to be over the hood for any, if you're going down hills or anything, you need to be able to see over the front. I try to sit within like 2 inches rough, and yeah, like just all the way up.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yo, well, how do you like sitting in the car?
I like pretty close to the wheel, but I'm usually pretty low. So mostly because I like to, I don't know, I feel more closer to the track and I just feel like I have a better foundation when I'm not as high up. If I'm high up, I feel super tippy, even mostly like my seat. Like I know that the car is not raised, but I still feel very
tippy.
Yeah,
it's the perception of where you're at. Yes,
for sure.
That's kind of crazy that you say that. Like Rob will know this too, especially from short course racing, but like the more you can be one with the car and like feel it, like they call it like driving with your butt, right?
Cause yeah.
Because you can feel it and you can understand everything. So everything from the center of your body moves less when you can do that. Like if you have those core elements to be able to sense those things down in your core, that means that you're move less on the steering wheel, you move less on the foot pedals, and you can drive so much easier because everything is centered.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. I know I'm with you on that, and I like to be sitting low normally, but just with the truck, with how, I mean, the hood is 5 feet at the dash. Like if you're not close as you can get, the vision sucks. But like in a Razor, I sit all the way down, eyes damn near just above the wheel. You know, it doesn't bother me in something like that. More of an open wheel car with the, when the front's a little bit shorter, but with the truck, I just prefer being as high as I can.
I got a good segue here. So he's like leaning back like a cholo at his Razor. Does that mean that you have a specific hype song when you go to race like Caden does?
And... Now, I heard you guys ask this one for Caden and I was trying to come up with one, but now I if anything, it would just be like a hard rock song, you know? I don't have anything specific, just something to get my heart rate up. Because if not, I don't know, I get nervous, honestly.
My name is Kim.
I feel like the mustache fits the hard rock.
He could go country. I could see him
go country, yeah.
But they've been having a lot of, like, intermingling. Like, rap guys now are running, like, country mustaches and cowboy hats. Like...
Sorry.
On the wheel when he needs both hands.
Can you like say it out loud?
Tyler said, does he also wrap it around the wheel when he needs both hands to eat his sandwich?
Yeah. Your mustache has muscle memory?
Kinda, yeah.
I feel like it's funny, like, because, like, it's first of all, it's awesome that he's already got that. Like, he's cultivating it. It's badass. But I feel like it's funny because we're talking about serious stuff and everybody's being dicks and just being like, no, let's talk about his mustache.
I tried to be serious for like a second, but I can't.
Right.
How long did it take you to grow that bad dog?
I know.
Dude, I just had someone ask me that, like, yesterday, and I started thinking back, and honestly, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I want to say like around a year almost, but I really don't know. I mean, I can't think back. I with the racing and everything, I'm just always thinking for like the next thing. We're always going forward, right? I've lost track of time, like how fast time has passed in the past couple of years. And so, yeah, I really couldn't tell you.
We're talking about like doing all kinds of crazy stuff to the truck. Like, do you have to use special sauce on the Mustang?
I know.
No. Oh. Like on the daily or like when I'm racing?
Oh, just to keep it pristine.
I do put a little bit of stuff in it. Yeah, just to keep it nice and soft and smooth. But
he's ready for this.
Dude, I'm liking the effort.
All right, going into something a little more serious. You mentioned to me that you were currently attending ASU. What's your major, first of all?
Oh, God. I've kind of drugged this college deal out a little bit, but I started in engineering, didn't work out, master's basically wasted that, put the business. Now I'm basically disciplinary stuff between business and entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Should be graduating in December, hopefully.
Okay.
But we'll see. I just got some pretty bad news that I've been doing online right home back here in California, Raleigh. I thought I was going to be able to graduate online, and I guess my major doesn't really offer that. So my last like five classes I need to take my last semester, either I'm going to have to move back to school or change to another major.
I feel like they always do that, though. I feel like there's always something that happens like that, because like, you're not the first person that's told us, like me, that at least. I'm just like, dude, why can't it just happen?
and like, and the disappointing part is, I mean, I only moved to online December, so like into the fall semester, whatever, to start this year, and I was under the impression that I could finish fully online and not have to go back, and not the case. So
yeah,
a little frustrating
because racing so demanding. Did that kind of influence the decision to move school online?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that was one of the main reasons. I basically live at my shop. My house is right in front of the shop, whatever. So I do all the work on the pre-runner, most of the work on it. And it's a lot of time. And I'd be here. If not, I'd end up driving back every other weekend, you know, for 3 days, just work on the car nonstop and drive back. So it just makes more sense for me to.
Dude, honestly, that bums me out. Like, I hate hearing stories like that because, like, the first thing that you think, you're like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm not even going to complete it. Like, I already got the education. I just won't have the piece of paper now because, like, that stuff, like, really, like, it's wasting your time is what it is. And time is so valuable.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I had to talk to one of my advisors yesterday about it. And I basically told him, I was like, I've spent too much time here. Like, I'm just ready. And I need to go on and work, you know, like, keep. Like, just, I don't want to say holding me back, but like, I could be doing other things. And
yeah,
I've got college now, but having one semester left, like you said, like, I don't want to quit. I'm finished now, but it's, I'm stuck in this loop now, in a sense.
Yeah, I hate that people put you in a position like that. Like, and it, we actually talk about this all the time. There's a process and there's people, right? And the people are always held up by the process. If the people would just think outside the box and have a different perspective, they could adjust the process, and then the people would win no matter what on both sides.
Yep.
But it doesn't happen. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, what are the racing questions do you have? Because I actually have one at the end.
Ooh, well, tell me. Okay. We're at the end.
Well, so first and foremost, we already talked about a couple of things. We talked about you driving a trophy truck. We talked about you guys building a trophy truck that took a while to build, and you had all the patience to do that. We talked about your education, and we talked about, you know, you as a youngster. Like, where does that all feed into the next 10 years of your life? Because there's a lot to unpack there, right? Like, how do you foresee everything that's going to happen? Because you're going to have an education. You're going to have a trophy truck that works better next race. There's all kinds of things that are going to happen.
Yeah, that's something I've really been asking myself for the past like 6 months probably now. Like, knowing I'm getting close to the end of school. I mean, right now I'm just back home working on the farm, basically just helping my dad. But when I graduate, what am I going to do from there? I still haven't figured out what I want to do. You know, I'm going to have a business and entrepreneurship degree, but what do I want to do with that? I'm not sure. Really, I just want to follow racing. That's all I know. I've been doing it for, this is my 16th year. I'm 23. You know, it's like the majority of my life, right? So it's really all I know. All I've done is worked on cars and drove them. And for, like, that's a hard one for me to answer because I really don't know. I don't want to say I'm just playing it by ear, but hoping for a call here soon to. Hoping for my calling, I guess, in a sense, right? I'm just trying.
Well, and I can understand the latency to ask that or to answer that question too, because you have so many things that are just being like kind of just floating in the air right now, right? With all the things that have happened over the past couple of weeks. Like, I get it, but I know that you want to be a champion. I know that you want to race, and I know that you want to make the sport better. So, do any of those things ever influence your mindset to be like, you know what? If it doesn't work this way, I'm going to go this way. Or, like, do you think like a racer, like, I will always achieve a goal?
So, obviously, yeah. So, I'd like to keep racing. It's just, it's expensive to race a trophy truck, right? So, we're doing what we can. And even if I had to get out of racing, like, driving a car itself, right, I think I'd still be in the industry somehow. Like, I want to stay in the industry because I feel like, I don't want to say I could help it, but I've got a solid of experience at such an age that it just, it's what I know, you know, and
yeah.
Found it. I don't know if I could say I'd be like an announcer or anything like that. I don't think I have the speech skills for that, but I've even thought like, maybe I'll go down the more of the fab side, You know, I've always had an interest in that, but it's something I've never fully learned. I've kind of taught myself a little bit enough for what I need to do. But yeah, I mean, racing is my life, right? That's what I've grew up around. I'm gonna, I can't afford my life, but we'll see. I mean, I'm open to really anything. It does, like, it sucks to say now that I've got a really nice truck and everything brand new, I have just as much fun racing a 10 car or as long as I'm behind the wheel, I'm having fun. Obviously the trophy truck is just another level. Like, it's just insane. Right? Go out there and race anything and just really just, you know.
Yeah, I honestly like that. Like, and to hear how mature he is and how humble he has a lot of humility, right?
Yeah.
I think you could be a fantastic mentor too, even at your young age, right? Like, and the way that you talk and the way that you
carry yourself.
Yeah, and how you understand and relate to people. Like, you don't just have to be a racer. Like, you can be a helper too. And I think, dude, now that I'm putting two and two together, I think that started when you were young. Like, what I saw from your guys' team.
I'm sorry. Wait, what do you mean?
Like how you learned, like you're a mentor, like you were taught, like, to help.
Yeah. People. No, I mean, my dad is, I don't want to say he's taught me to be on my own or independent, you know, but he's shown me so much now that just from learning what he's taught me and how he taught me, you know, I feel like I can translate it also to other people very well. But yeah, no, that is something I actually considered. I don't know why the thought just kind of popped into my head a couple of days ago. Just what about like a driving school or random?
For sure.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I don't know if I could do that. I would feel like I'm on a high horse if I did that. I think, like, I don't know.
Not the best teachers are the ones that are on the same level as everybody else. Yep. Dude.
For sure. The ones that definitely see themselves on the same level as who they're teaching.
Yeah, 100%. You know what, they like, teachers learn more from the students than they do what they teach. Like, it's crazy. So, like, something like that would be super cool. You know what? Because that doesn't really even exist, end quote. Like, it's like, that would be new for the industry, too.
Yeah.
Well, there's my dad commenting, stunt driving. Yeah, if that needs a stunt driver, I've always had an interest in that. I'll be a stunt driver in movies. That sounds really fun.
Gotta let me know what movies you're in.
Yeah, like the stunt driving thing, that sounds pretty cool. Our boy Dustin Nelson does a lot of that stuff now too. But what I just thought of with stunt driving, you know how many hype songs he's gonna get from stunt driving?
Oh, you're gonna get your hype song. Yeah. You gotta let me know when you figure that out too.
All right, I will.
But do I have any more questions?
No, I just wanted to say thank you for, like, the help you did and, like, what you showed me for off-road, man. And I can't wait to see you get out there and just rip that trophy truck.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on. It was good catching up, George. It's been a long time since we talked. Bella, thank you for the invite.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything. I had a blast talking to you.
All right.
Later, bro.
Bye, bro.
Dude, such a solid guy, man.
No, like, for sure.
You know what's cool about that, though, too? Is, like, his family was jumping in and hanging out.
And chiming in, too, and making jokes. No, that was super sick.
Our next guest is one of my favorites.
Our next guest I have never talked to, but has been my role model for so long.
Dude, and she has nice hair.
Yes. She always has nice hair.
You got an intro?
Hi, Brooke. Yes, I do. So, Brooke Jensen is from, you said, a small town in California.
Yeah.
I would have pronounced it wrong. Pinon Hills?
Oh, yeah. Pinon.
Pinon Hills. She started her career at just 9 years old, huge Lucas Oil background, but now takes on the desert, accomplishing 2 back-to-back podiums at California.
Yeah.
Solid.
Solid.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, are you going to be attending California 300 this year?
So, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be attending this year. We're kind of just figuring out what exactly the next step is in my career.
Okay.
And from then, maybe we'll see if we're going to stay in the desert. If not, then maybe at a different event.
Yeah, for sure. And
wait, what are the other options?
You know, we've thought about Nitro cross the rally racing has definitely grown, and so that has caught my interest recently. I do have a huge short course background, so that could definitely be a factor. There's just so many different opportunities within racing that everything's kind of just up in the air, figuring out what is going to be the best for us in the next step.
Brooke, if you want any help with getting into Nitro Rallycross, I can call Scotty Lawrence and try to give you a little bit of a one-up so you can get in there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, just let me know.
Yeah, we recently went to the Nitro Cross in Glen Helen this last year, but it was a crazy turnout. Super cool. The racing's phenomenal, so I'd love to see you out there. That'd be super rad.
Thank you. Yeah, we went to one of them and watched, and you know, I've watched Cowboy and Amanda Sorensen and everybody kind of stepping into it, and I really love the publicity that people get from it, and it's something I do miss in short course. You know, short course was all about the fans and traveling across the world, and in desert, I feel like that's one thing that I do miss, is most of our races are in, you know, Barstow or Las Vegas or something along the lines of that, and it would be really cool to kind of step foot in that field again and kind of see what I can do.
Yeah, she's got a really good point there too. It's like, when you're out in the middle of the desert, there's nobody watching, but when you're in a close course environment, there's a lot of people, right? So you can interact with people, and one of the things that I think makes her heart the happiest is actually being around people.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
100%.
Scrolling through your Instagram just for a second, I saw like all of the keynote stuff that you do and all the things that you do with kids and everything like that. Being able to like talk to people on such a personable level is really cool.
Yes, it's definitely something I love, and the keynote speaking has definitely has a special spot in my heart. The way that these kids, you know, respond to my speech and kind of my story is just, it inspires me sometimes. They inspire me.
That's really cool. I want to know a little bit more about keynotes. Can you give me a rundown of like how that works and just the general basic stuff?
Yeah. So actually, I started keynote speaking about, I would say, probably 5 years ago. I keynote spoke at the middle school that I went to school at. And you kind of just, you know, tell your story. And I inspire the kids as of my messages. Your condition is not your conclusion. Where you are right now is not where you're going to end up. As long as you're willing to put in, you know, the hard work and determination and all of the above, where you are, the home you're raised in, the friends you're around, doesn't have to be the end of your journey. So kind of sharing a little bit about my story, we play a quick video of, you know, the racing industry and what I do and where I came from, and then show a quick glimpse of, you know, my treatment that I go through with Lyme disease, and then, you know, just give them the rundown of inspiring them, and we go outside after, we show them the car and sign autographs, take pictures, and gosh, it's awesome. It's between racing and keynote speaking, it's they're hand in hand.
Yeah, that's super rad.
And you know what's funny about that statement is, and I know everybody in this conversation right now and everybody that's watching will understand this, racing is only a little part of it, right?
Yeah.
The things that you do to help other people, that's what the real win is. Like, that's the real win, right? And some of the stuff has, I don't know, connections in it, right, Brooke? Because you can go win a race, but you have to fight through that race. You get stuck in a rut. You know, you want to cry. You have to get to the finish line. You can't give up. You got to push through pain. You got to push through a broken car. All of that stuff people experience in life, whether it's Lyme disease, whether it's diabetes, whether it's a broken bone, whether it's somebody else around you dying, whether it's a breakup, any of that stuff, right? And so you're culminating all of this stuff and sharing your experiences with people. And the best part about it is, it says true. It's real life, and you are able to have that connection with those people. It must feel so good.
And it does. In one of my motivation videos that we did, I said that I look at life like a finish line, you know, in a race. There's so many challenges. Each mile, there's so many challenges. And that's just like every year, every day, every second, you know, everything we go to, you've got to overcome them to be able to get to that finish line in life as well as in racing, especially in desert racing. And as long as you're willing to, you know, put in the hard work, especially these kids now that live in the society and the world that we live in, their hope isn't all there. Just like how when I was raised, you know, I had so much hope, and these kids get brought down a lot, and what they're raised around with social media, it's insane. And as long as I can touch one life out of all 800 kids that I speak to in a day, you know, I feel like I'm winning. I definitely feel that at least one life that I can touch is important.
For sure. Have you ever had a instance in your career, like a trial, where you had to kind of shift your perspective from like being, you know, I don't want to say negative, but being in like a different perspective to just kind of shifting it, like, okay, I'm going to look at it from this point of view now and see if it helps.
Yeah, 100%. I would feel that my biggest challenge that I've had is being diagnosed with Lyme disease when I was just 4 years old.
Okay.
I do know nothing different than being sick every day, but there's definitely days that, you know, hey, I have treatment. I have a doctor's appointment, or, you know, I can't do that. I'm not capable for that right now. And I feel like that's definitely a challenge that keeps coming up in my life that I just kind of have to adapt to. And, you know, I can't do that, but I can do this. And that's why I love racing so much, because when I'm racing, it's more of as an escape for me. I put a helmet on and my eyes are blank and I'm just right on course.
Sure.
Is that hard to fight though? Because like a racer mentality is like patience is not an option. Like you don't have patience. Like, that's not, and then all of a sudden in life you just get kicked in the shins and you're like, oh, great. Like now I have to wait. Now I have to go through this process. And now like that must teach you so much.
Yeah. 100%, especially right now. I feel like this year, as we're taking racing a little bit slower and going through treatment, it's hard. It's really hard. But I know that if I'm willing to put my body at the best it can be by the end of this year, I can't imagine what the next years are to become. Like, I can tell you this last month, I've probably had 20 vials of blood drawn and tests done, that things that I didn't even know about that were going on with me, like being allergic to lettuce. Like, who would ever know?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know what I'd do without lettuce in a burger.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah, wild.
Yeah, there's like, from
your point of view, for sure. Like, even personally having to deal with something, but yeah. Kind of seeing, like, in the long run, like, yes, I have to deal with this today, but, you know, if I deal with it today, tomorrow will be a little bit better. Like,
yes, 100%. And that's the hardest part is learning to take care of my body, because I'm always somebody that's go, 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 you know, going to college, working full time, you know, racing, keynote speaking. I tend to not care about how I feel and, you know, the things that are happening. And I'm slowly realizing that that's taking a toll on my body. And when I start taking care of myself more, the better I feel and the more I'm able to do.
Dude, that's so hard.
I couldn't relate to that anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm struggling with that right now. So you're definitely helping me just talk.
Well, good.
It's so hard though, because like society is instant gratification. You can just go get a hamburger from McDonald's and just do all that crap. Like, I don't know. It's wild that you guys can have that much willpower at such a young age.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy. Like, I got my allergy test back and it was lettuce, you know, black pepper, beef, avocados, asparagus, oranges, eggs, cow milk, like so many things. And I was so overwhelmed. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to eat? But one day at a time, I'm able to figure it out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's crazy. You know what's funny is there's a joke in there too, because people are like, what, you can't eat meat? Why don't you just eat lettuce? And you're like, well, I can't eat that.
Oh, 100%.
That's super funny.
Have you been adjusting good?
What was that?
Have you been adjusting good though?
Yeah, I guess I would say the hardest part is just cravings, you know, like I really just want a protein style from In-N-Out, and it's like, well, you can't have that. So guess what? You're eating chicken today.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can find stuff though. You can make all kinds of different concoctions.
100%. Yeah. I've noticed meal prepping helps a lot, and kind of just not having those things in the house are really helpful. I think we threw away like 2 entire trash bags of stuff that I can't eat. So it's just not in the house and I can't eat it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You're probably so much healthier than all of us though. That's rad.
It's insane. You know, like I live on coffee with how busy I am. And I feel like I, with eating healthy and, you know, getting the right exercise and starting to take the supplements and figure out what's going on with my body and the medications and stuff, like, wow, you know, I come home and I'm ready to go for a two and a half mile walk. And it's like, I still have homework to do and to cook dinner and all this stuff. And it's like, I could still do that all.
Yeah.
Do you ever sit down and think, because we were actually talking about this the other day too, like how much crap you can actually get, or how much productive stuff you can get in one, done in one day?
100%. Yeah, it's like the more you prioritize your time, the better it is. And I have found that huge. You know, you have 24, so many hours in a day. It's just what you pick to do and what you choose to do.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. So, all right, you tell us about a normal day for you after I say this. So today, I got up super early, right? I was in Poway, I went to Oceanside, and now I'm up here in Banning. So like there was probably 5 hours worth of driving around. There was at least 15 racers that I helped at the Legacy race today. There was, we had to make and create 2 Starlink kits for some trophy trucks that are going down to Nora. We had at least 6 phone calls for meetings that were at least half an hour, 45 minutes long. And then I got up here and I was like, wow, I feel like having some fun on a podcast. Like, you know what I mean? And you get to a point where you're just like, dude, it's so chill. Like, I got this.
Yeah, it's crazy what you can fit into a day, especially when you have a huge to-do list. It's like, wow, I really got all that done.
Yeah.
What's a day in the life?
Well, it changes most of the time, but I usually wake up, get some homework done, get ready for work, which I work with special education students every single day, gaining experience for my career, and go to work, come home, cook dinner, and usually go for a walk, and then work on some more homework. Right now, as we're not racing, it's kind of a little bit more laid back. We have a little bit more time to do things here and there. But when we were racing, you know, a lot last year, it was like we were up here during the week working on the car and still had homework to do. I was doing homework on the way out to the races. So busy days. Yeah. Busy days.
Yeah, for sure. Even, yeah, being able to fit all of that in one day, that's more than a lot of people could say. Because some people, I mean, I can definitely say I've been this person at a time, but I'll like have a whole to-do list and a bunch of things to do, and then I get to the list and I get so overwhelmed that I just end up doing nothing. So I have days like that for sure, but you're right. Most of my life is just go, 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 and it's super hard to stop and like, okay, man, have I ate today? Have I drank water? Did I check my blood sugars? Did I do any of the health things I should have done? So,
dude, you got that laser focus.
Us females do. They usually
do. Oh, yeah. Females do, for sure.
Have you talked to any of the people that you, I don't want to say, like, motivate is such an overused word, but that you try to help and you try to, have you talked with them anytime, like, done follow-ups with them?
Yeah, so it's actually really cool. I was doing this Lyme disease awareness type of, like, Zoom calls with certain people that I would call in, you know, try to educate them or, you know, be there for them or, you know, I tried this, you should try that. Or I recently had to stop doing that just because it was taking up so much of my time. But it's really cool because a lot of the kids that I spoke to and motivated, I see usually daily. And it just brings a whole nother perspective, not just being like, you know, a teacher to them or something like that. It's more of like a personal level, like, hey, I'm going through this. What would you do? And it's pretty awesome because it makes me love my job.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, not only that, but like you're being real, right? Like that realness like makes it more the difference than you'll ever know. Cause you're not like being a doctor and just giving them facts. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yes.
You're broken. This is wrong with you. This is wrong with you. You got to do this to fix this. You're just like, dude, how can I help?
Right.
Right. And as of April, this is my 17th year battling Lyme disease. So, you know, there's a ton of education.
Wow. That's super cool.
Yeah. And I'm proud of you for sharing your life experience. Yes. Some of that stuff is tough to talk about.
Yeah. It definitely was, especially when I was younger. I didn't really, you know, tell people because I just wanted to be normal. I just wanted to be the normal kid, the normal person.
Yeah.
And I felt like every time I saw somebody that I haven't seen in a while, they'd be like, oh, how are you doing? How are you feeling? It's like, I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
I deal with that every single day.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Becoming older and more mature, it's huge to spread awareness because Lyme disease is becoming more and more populated and these people are going through this disease without, you know, any type of education. I can't even tell you how many times I've been denied by a doctor. You're not sick. What are you talking about? And it's like, what are you talking about?
That's crazy. I know exactly what you mean.
That's the whole thing I'm talking about is they just have a problem listening.
Yeah. Yeah, even like being able to be so personable with someone too, especially bringing awareness for the people that can't. Because a lot of people like to talk, but some people can't talk about stuff like that, or they don't know how to socialize with another person. So having you, you know, also going through experience that they are too, and then being able to bring awareness and they can be like, oh, it's okay to talk about it. It is okay to feel this way or feel that way. So that's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good perspective too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, so what have you been doing the past, like, I don't know, because I feel like I haven't talked to you in like a year.
Well, very busy, like I said, going to college and trying to figure all that out and navigate that, doing that online. I did have to change my major just because I was doing it in early child development. And I was like halfway through and then they told me that, you know, your major is no longer online. You have to come in and I work full time, so I can't come in.
Oh, my gosh. We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I think right now I'm going to finish my degree in business and marketing.
Okay.
And then while I'm teaching, I would like to work in the industry within the marketing and business group, as long with racing. I recently got to drive a spec trophy truck.
Dang! That's so cool.
I don't think I've ever smiled so big in my entire life.
Were you just like, wow, these bumps feel so much smaller now?
It was so crazy. Like, I can't wait to get back in that driver's seat because I feel like I was just living a dream and I wasn't able to focus so much on, like, what exactly the truck felt like. More of like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome.
Oh my gosh, I'm in the truck.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really awesome. And just kind of working on treatment, getting myself healthy, figuring out what our next plans are. And still, my boyfriend Brian co-drives in a trophy truck. So we're still at every race, still busy as ever.
Look at the picture in the background. Too.
I like it. I've been watching.
Yeah, that's super cool. It looks like you got a bunch of things in the works. So I'm super, super glad for you, super happy. And I cannot wait to see what else you got in store.
Yeah, one of the things that I want to say, though, before we let Brooke go is, like, one of the kids just asked, like, how do I get into racing, right?
Yeah.
Well, the way that you get into racing is you think about it from a life perspective, right? Like Brooke. Like, Brooke is winning at life. She's been dealt some hard cards, right? Mm-hmm. But she doesn't give up. She just keeps going. She keeps pushing forward. And she has the mentality of just plain willpower. Like, there's nothing that can stop her. And those traits, in some cases, are very, very hard to learn because you get put on your back a lot of times, right? But when you come out, you're that much stronger of a person. So you should be very proud of yourself and you should keep going and helping people, man, because you're doing a fantastic job.
You really are.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, what are you going to do next where we can see you?
Yeah.
Hang out.
I don't know. Hopefully we'll be driving a trophy truck next time I see you guys.
I would love to see that.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
It's huge, and it was really awesome. I think next thing up on the calendar is Cowboys BMF Kids Camp.
Okay.
I'll be going back up there again and doing the kids camp with Dustin Jones and Cowboy and everybody else. And then just doing what I'm doing, picking away at each thing I want to accomplish.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's the way to go about it, for sure.
Dude, awesome. One's eat the elephant one bite at a time.
You bring that up, Ed. Every podcast. It's true, though.
I'm obsessed.
No, I'm obsessed, too.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. It benefits me too, 1,000%. But aww, really hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yes. So thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, you put a bigger smile on our faces. Thanks for
Bye, guys.
Bye.
And you know what's crazy about like a lot of the conversations that we had today was that there's so many things that intermingle together with all these fantastic people, right? They get taught certain things about family. They get taught certain things about life and goals. And like, I don't know, to me, like when I hear that, like every single day we go out and we get like bummed on life because we see so many crappy experiences or like crappy people, right? This gives you a lot of hope. Like hearing all these awesome individuals.
No, for sure. Being able to just see that racing isn't just, you know, you get into a car and you drive and you go through a hard race. It's everything that has to go with it. And like everything it teaches you too. Like there's some things that I'm going to take from racing than I'll probably more than I'll take from school.
Yeah.
I love school, but definitely.
Life lessons.
Yes, for sure.
Dude, look at that purple car. Oh, no, wait. That's a red. That's Corbin.
That's
car.
Corbin. That is Corbin.
Corbin has some sweet pictures out though.
Well, I got one more question for you guys.
Okay.
So this is the 7th episode of The Last Corner. Give us some feedback. I mean, we've been doing this for a little bit now, and you're right. We hit like a little milestone where it's like getting serious now. I mean, I feel like it's been getting serious, but I'd love to hear some feedback on how I'm doing, how I need to, you know, be better and excel myself, and who I can bring onto the show that you guys would love to listen to. So I'd really love to hear all that. My Instagram is Bella Bouchard. Look me up. Say hi.
You can always slide into the Dirt Life Show Instagram as well. And send us DMs so that you can get her a little bit of feedback. That would actually be really cool. We just talked about it all day today about how much people listen and how much people grow. And she's inviting you guys to give her some feedback.
I'd love to hear it.
Listening, right?
Yep.
Thank you guys
for coming on. And we'll see you for episode 8.
Later.
Deuces.
Thanks for listening to The Dirt Life Show. See you next week.